Neosporin, available in cream or spray. One of the many first aid products available at Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a Podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Survivor Exit Interview Podcast coming up here today. I am Rob Cicerino. How's everybody doing today? We are very excited to bring you the latest exit interview with the last person who was eliminated from Survivor, and that would be the one and only ice cream dandy Neil Gottlieb. And we will talk with Neil today about what's going on with him since his medical evacuation and what was going on with the idol and what was going to happen at that tribal council and much, much more in our exit interview podcast. And then we'll check in with our buddy Jordan Kalish to talk about this week in Survivor history. And of course, last night we did our Survivor Know-It-Alls with Stephen Fishback. Stephen and I broke down everything that was going on at the Koh Rong merge. And then coming up after this today, we are going to get into our recap podcast. I will head to the studios of Podcast One, the podcast network home of Rob as a Podcast, where I will be met by Pete and Abby Maria from Survivor Philippines. Of course, Abby also was in Cambodia last season for Survivor Second Chance. So we will talk with them about everything that's going on at the merge and ask them your questions and everything we do on the recap podcast, followed by my voicemail podcast when I get back home with Matt Cerrone from MetsBlog.com to take your call. So get your voicemails in. All right. I see that we have Neil here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Neil, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Neil, how's it going?
Going well. It's great to finally get to tell the world that I lost Survivor.
Well, it was in a very unconventional way. So very excited to talk with you this morning about everything that you went through. First off, Neil, I'm sure a lot of people want to know, how are you physically after everything that you went through and really getting a very HD look at all of your issues going on with the infections?
Yeah, Mount St. Neil is now extinct. They cleaned it out. They kind of dug at me with what looked like a melon baller, which was oh so pleasant. But I was fine. The thing is the knee never really hurt after the first day it got lanced, which is day 15. Didn't hurt after that. I was in the hospital for 2 nights on an IV drip here and there. And then the next day I ran 4 miles on the treadmill. It didn't bother me. It wasn't painful, but of course it was deep and ugly and scary. Mm-hmm. So great.
And those are the kind of things that can get even worse. In talking with Jonathan Penner, who ended up going out of Survivor with an injury in a similar spot, and I think that his had progressed to get even worse. You know, he had a very painful recovery from that. So they are looking out for you guys. With the hidden immunity idol, let's get into this, because this was the question that we got so much in talking about the episode last night. Why didn't you want to give the hidden immunity idol to Aubrey as you were going out of the game?
I wanted to, but I didn't. The night before, when we were having a romantic talk on the beach, and I revealed to her that I had the idol, later on in the conversation, she's freaking out because the brains are being targeted. They're trying to put us in lockers. And she makes it very clear, explicitly clear, that if she has to, she'll split my throat, which is fine. That's the game we're playing. But when you think that you're going out the next day on a medical evac, you're just not psyched to hear that. So that put me off. That rubbed me the wrong way. And she was likely the one that was going home that night. But by me going out, she got another life in the game. Mm-hmm. But in some ways, felt like I already gave her an idol. And it was this one physical thing that I could hold on to. I had such a glorious experience. I love this game so much. And it was just this last thing that I could grasp at as Jeff executes me, as he pulls me, puts me on a boat to go have a melon baller dig out my knee. So I wanted to, and up until that moment, I was not sure what I was going to do. And I didn't give it to her. And you know what? As soon as I got on the boat, they started regretting it.
Can you talk more about the context to which she said she would slit your throat in the game? Was it sort of like, hey, if it comes down to it, better you than me? Or did she feel like, was there a falling out between you two?
Yeah, no, it was more just better you than me. There wasn't a falling out. Mm-hmm. It was just like, hey, if I have to, if it comes to it, just nobody, I'm going to slit your throat. And which is, that's the game. I would have done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Although I did truly want to go to the finals with her.
Yeah.
So there's that. But I gave her my Gandhi mode sports coat. And as I was giving it to her, I put some things in the pocket. So people weren't sure what those things were. So mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, the fear of an idol can be even more powerful than an idol itself, because idols get used, but the fear lingers. People wonder, and there's that unknown.
Yeah.
Does she have it? Doesn't she?
Well, there is so much unknown in how the vote was going to go last night. It did seem like that there were people from the Braun tribe and then a couple of the beauties were plotting to put the votes on Aubrey in the vote last night. But you had the hidden immunity idol, and there was some talk of how it would be used and whether or not they were going to be able to get you to flush it. So according to, you know, what you knew from that day, how would that vote have gone down that night if there was no medical evacuation and you guys went to tribal council?
My understanding at the time was they were going to do 4 on Aubrey and 3 on me, mm-hmm. try to flush it out. And I think my thought at the time is, well, I can play it now and be dead man walking for whenever I don't win an immunity challenge and go to the next tribal, or I can maybe roll the dice. So I was still kind of undecided about that. I mean, I didn't go out there to come in 10th place. I went out there to win. So I was undecided, but I think I might not have played
it. But in that scenario, Aubrey most likely goes home in that spot.
Yeah, it would have been a 4-4 tie and then a revote, mm-hmm. and Aubrey would have gone home.
Who would you guys have put your votes on?
I think we were thinking Jason. You know, he seemed like such a threat from various ways, and he was clearly part of a very tight, you know, triad at that point, because he was tight with Scott, and it was clear how tight Scott and Ty were. So they ended up, you know, being this voting block of 3.
Yeah.
So we wanted to break that up. It seemed to make a lot of sense. You know, there was a thought that Jason had the idol. I didn't know for sure, but it seemed likely, and it seemed like we would be able to blindside her.
Was there confidence from you guys going into that vote? We saw that Nick and Michelle were the swings, and we saw you talking with Nick and then some of the other brains talking with Michelle. Was there confidence in any way that you guys had the Nick and Michelle votes going into that tribal council?
There's no confidence about having the Nick and Michelle vote. I mean, of course they're saying, yeah, 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 but Debbie was alienating them both. They were rolling their eyes at her, and, you know, the body language, the eye contact, the short conversations, there was no confidence on the brain side that we had them with us.
Well, could you expand a little bit more about the relationship with Debbie and what it was like day-to-day living with Debbie? Because certainly for us watching the show, we see that Debbie is a very colorful character, very fun TV to watch. But what is it like on the daily basis of playing the game with Debbie?
Debbie's amazing. I mean, there is no other human being quite like Debbie in this world. And she's entertaining. I mean, not only did she make for good TV, but she was entertaining around camp. She always had stories. I mean, you've only seen a fraction of them. She always had stuff to talk about. She's entertaining. But sometimes it gets to be a bit much. And I think you probably saw that secret scene of her and I on the beach
mm-hmm.
the early morning. I'm like, Daddy, just tone it down. Please. And, you know, she didn't see that. She thought that she was the center of this universe and that everybody was loving the Debbie show. And turns out they weren't. So, yeah, then I think she also just thought that she was more charming than she was as we got later in the game
mm-hmm.
because people were playing to her ego. And so I think she thought she could just go up to Ty and not have any foreplay or not buy him dinner and just try to throw him down in bed.
Yeah.
And I saw how that worked.
Not great. Not great.
No, she didn't. She didn't score that night.
With Debbie and you at Chanlow, we never got to see you guys go to the tribal council. And I thought that that was such an interesting dynamic of the two people from each tribe, that 2-2-2 split. If you guys ended up going to a tribal council, who do you feel like was going to be the person who got voted off there?
You know, Jason says that he was preparing to blindside me. The thing is that in that situation, Michelle had, at that point, screwed up in two challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Carrying the fish pieces back, she dropped it, which slowed us down a few seconds, which, of course, didn't matter because we destroyed the puzzle. And then in the buoy challenge, when we were really, really hungry, she was untying the wrong knot.
Mm-hmm.
But she screwed up two challenges. And she was aware of that, and everybody else was aware of that. So in that point where we're so close to the individual game and just want to move forward, I think that she probably would have gone home because she seemed like such a liability. But who knows, right? I mean, you have to see that afternoon what happens. But I think that's likely. I was proving myself to be very valuable, not only feeding the tribe, getting most of our food, but of course, I showed myself to do really well in a couple different puzzle challenges, so that was a valuable asset to keep around. You could argue that puzzles laid down like me for lovers more than they did for Debbie, and I think people were aware of that. So puzzles laid down for Debbie just like Ty did.
So going back to when you said that, you know, Jason had talked about that he was getting ready to blindside you, and obviously that comes right before you guys end up going into that merge. Were you aware that there was speculation from the other players that you had that idol?
Yeah, I was aware that people figured that I had the idol. It was never discussed, but it was just kind of a given. Like, they knew that obviously Liz and Peter didn't have the idol, and Joe never left the camp. If Debbie didn't really wander off other than to get coconuts. So kind of came down to, well, if the idol is had, it's Neil or Aubrey. And I think most people in that equation, because there's this bias that if you own a vagina, you don't have an idol, as Kelly Wentworth showed in the previous season. There's just like, you know, I figured that everybody figured that I had the idol. And that's, of course, what I did have. The thing is, if we want to talk about my bulge, as I know that you do, the idol was never in that pocket, not for a second ever the entire game.
Yes.
That was just a bunch of like string and other crap that I picked up along the way. Because, you know, you never know when you need a piece of string or something to build a fake idol out of, or who knows what else. You just you pick those things up and they lived in that pocket.
Okay. So where do you carry an idol on your person?
Family jewels. And let me tell you, I can identify with Christopher Walken because that gets uncomfortable. Those things chafe. It's not good.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it, but it's a better strategy than wearing it around your neck and having people know that.
Okay. Well, we don't need to expand any further on that. But let's just go back.
We can if you want.
No, we have a short amount of time. So let's go back to the dynamic at the original Brains Tribe. And it looked like early on that there was something going on between you and Aubrey and then the pair of Liz and Peter. And that ultimately flamed out in an explosive way at that first tribal council, to the point where Peter is saying, well, obviously it's not going to be your plan that works tonight. Can you tell us, what was it that Peter felt like was going to be your plan? Did you guys have a falling out before that vote?
No, we didn't have a falling out behind that vote. We didn't have a falling out before that vote. It was the Young Bucks Alliance. It was, let's keep this tribe strong. We're at such a physical disadvantage having an older person. Joe's great and Joe is strong, but he's not fast. He's not agile. So it made so much sense to not vote out a young person. To not vote out a stronger, more agile person. But Liz and Peter were playing so hard. So they needed to be punished. And they were indeed.
Yeah. Now, we saw in your Ponderosa video, which I think was very emotional. I really enjoyed the Ponderosa video. You were training at Ponderosa for a second chance at Survivor. So I've never seen that before, of somebody says, okay, well, you know, I'm out of the game a day and now I'm getting ready to come back. Have you kept up with your training to come back to Survivor?
Yeah, I mean, my first morning out of the hospital, I ran 4 miles on my treadmill. At Ponderosa, I was working out a bunch. That kind of flipped. You know, it was so hot there. It was just like pretty awful to work out. And it's cruel how they have these things, and they didn't even have like a rowing machine. It should have a monitor on it, and it was friggin' broken. So yeah, I've been training. I know you're a big fan of indoor rock climbing, but I've been keeping that up. I've been doing CrossFit, the Stephen Fishbach School of Training.
Yes.
I haven't been working out on the balance beam all that much lately, but yeah, I've been keeping it up.
All right. Well, Neil, all the best to you. Hopefully no further infections or anything like that. Best of luck to you and the Three Twins ice cream, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Thank you very much, Rob.
Take care, everybody. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Neil Gottlieb, he's in training. He's getting ready to go for a second chance. He's waiting for the call, like many, many other survivors. We'll see how it ultimately plays out. Unfortunately, unlike Caleb, he didn't get the card up at the end of the episode of like that. Neil is ready to go back onto Survivor. He's doing better, and he's ready to go. But we'll see what ultimately ends up happening for Neil. I wanted to also ask Neil if he wanted to give Debbie a job at Three Twins, also if she ever wanted to expand her resume. But unfortunately, we don't have that much time when we do these Survivor exit interviews. All right, everybody. Very excited to bring in this man to talk about the latest happenings in the past in this week in Survivor history. Here is our good friend Jordan Kalish to talk about what happened on this week in Survivor history. Jordan, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. How are you?
Doing very good. Jordan, do you have any infections that you want to describe and see as an amateur survivor medical specialist that I could tell you what's going on there?
Luckily, I do not. I'm ready to go. I don't think there's any chance of me being medevaced from this this podcast. But as we know, if you say that in the confessional, you're probably going to be medevaced.
Certainly.
So
certainly. We've seen many medevacs in Survivor history. I don't know if we're going to talk about any of those today as we take a look through the Survivor time machine on what happened this week in Survivor history. But first, Jordan, let me take a moment and thank the sponsors of this segment, this week in Survivor history. And those are friends over at Texture, because they have figured out that they have disrupted the magazine game. You know how you get all these magazine subscriptions, you pay all this money for magazines at the newsstand, Jordan? Forget it. Forget it. That's yesterday's news. Literally. Texture. That's the way to go. Because Texture, it's very, very smart what they've done, that they've taken all the same magazines that you would get on the newsstand or subscriptions to, and they've put them all digitally that you could read on your tablet, on your smartphone, all the different ways that you'd be consuming media. You could be reading magazines, flipping through them. You don't have all that paper that you have to waste. Ty would be so happy, right?
Oh, he'd be incredibly happy. And I'd be happy too. I have magazines covering my floor, covering my couch. I have no idea where anything is in my house because of all these magazines.
Well, how many magazines do you have? What magazines are you reading?
Sports Illustrated. Actually, that's really the only one.
Yeah, well, they've got all Sports Illustrated, everything that you want to know. Because we're starting at less than $10 a month, Texture offers unlimited access to all your favorite magazines for less than the price of three magazines at the grocery store. Browse hundreds of magazines and cherry pick the articles that interest you, and sign up for Texture right now in mere seconds and gain insider access to the very best reads plus exclusive content. It's easy to use. Click on headlines on the cover page and Texture could take you right to an article. So stop flipping through the pages, stop wasting paper, and stop wasting your money. So get Texture today. The best part is Texture is offering a free trial right now. When you go to texture.com/RHAP, you'll get unrestricted access to the world's best magazines from back issues. And we know Neil Gottlieb was dealing with some back issues on Survivor this week. Am I right?
Yeah, terrible back issues.
These are the good back issues. These are the good back issues that you want, not like what Neil had, from back issues to the ones that are on newsstands today. So take advantage of this offer right now and get started, whether you're working on your brains, your beauty, or your brawn, with some serious magazine know-how. Let's try Texture for free. I really do recommend it. Go to texture.com/RHAP. Get your free trial now and start doing magazines the smarter way. Texture.com/RHAP. All right, Jordan, what do you got? Where do you want to go? Back issues in time, just like back issues of Survivor.
Yeah, we're going way back in time today. I mean, we saw the 32nd or 31st, depending on how you count, merge in Survivor history today. We're going to take you back to the first merge, and this episode is called The Merger. Of course, this is Survivor Borneo, and we're going to the filming dates of this episode. So this this took place March 31st to April 2nd, 2000, which is 16 years ago, this Thursday through Saturday.
And again, I know that I was confused in our pre-production call of like, wait, hold on, didn't we just talk about the premiere? But it's actually, you know, that when we're dealing with the shooting dates, these things come a lot quicker.
Yeah, we're a little bit over 2 weeks later from where we were when we spoke on that previous exit interview.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the very first merge in Survivor history. Kind of a cluster, you know what, right?
Yeah, this merge is crazy. I mean, it was the first one, so you give the producers some slack here. It was very hectic, and like basically more than half the episode had to do with the tribes merging before they even got to the beach together. And the way they did this merge, they had pre-selected two ambassadors who were Jenna and Sean, who got to visit the opposing camp to make their decision of where they'd live.
Yeah, because they tried to feel like that they were going to get them to hook up, maybe.
Yeah, they had a bed. It was like a date, lobster dinner, candles. It was beautiful. But you know, we know that Jenna doesn't like. She's not into those kind of things. And I think Sean may have been into it, but because it was only one of them, he would say later in this episode that he's not a 2-on-1 type guy. But maybe with one person there, it could have worked out.
Boy, TMI there, Dr. Sean.
Yeah, Sean had a really funny episode here. He made some good comments. He talked about how he doesn't think that alliances really exist, when of course they would show towards the end of the episode that they do. But this is the first merge in Survivor history. They spent a lot of time deciding what camp they would live at, what they would take. It turns out that they would live on the Tagi Beach, and Pagong only had 5 minutes to choose three items to take with them.
Well, look, it's the first time we ever did this. I just remember as a viewer not knowing how this was going to work. So I definitely understand why it was confusing for the contestants. I remember listening to like radio interviews where like, I think Jeff Probst was on like Opie and Anthony, or maybe it was like Mark Burnett was on the Opie and Anthony show, which, do you even know what that is?
I've heard of it. Yeah. I never listened to it, but I was at a sleepaway camp that summer.
Yeah. And he was talking about, I forget if it was Jeff or Mark, but they basically say like, and what's going to happen is that in the middle of the game, the two tribes are going to come together. It's like, whoa, this is really crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
how's that really going to work?
I know, not novel concept at the time. Now we're used to it, but this is really, you know, I don't know how you'd really continue the game. I guess you'd try to whittle the two tribes down until there was only one person on each one. But I think the merge was a very good idea in Survivor history.
Yeah. So you're on board with that. That was a good idea, the Survivor, for this to be a merge.
Yeah, I got to say I'm very pro merge.
Okay. It did seem like the Tagi tribe had a good sense of what was going to be coming up with the merge, whereas Pagong seemed to really not understand how it was going to work.
No, they were like chickens with their heads cut off. Yeah, exactly. Damn, Debbie. But yeah, the Pagong tribe, they were sort of the young tribe. They were the ones who came in thinking that it was still going to be an adventure type game where, you know, you'd vote for the person who you just didn't want to be there anymore. They didn't think that there'd be any coalition or dirty alliances afoot, but of course there were the Tagi tribe, well, the Tagi four would stay together, and you know they didn't even have the majority. It was a 10-person merge. They only had four people, but if the other, you know, if your competitors aren't making alliances against you, a 4-person alliance and a 10-person tribe, four into 10 can sometimes be it.
Yeah, of course. Now Gretchen is going to go home in this vote, but how many people got votes at this tribal council?
Okay, so the way that the votes read out, it was a 4-1-1-1-1-1-1-1 vote. That is 7 people getting votes, which is never going to happen again in Survivor history. It hasn't happened since. I don't know how, like, it seemed very, very unlikely that there wasn't some sort of coordinated effort for everyone to have one vote, because you have Rich, Kelly, Rudy, and Sue, of course, voting Gretchen. The rest of the people only got one vote. Even Greg, who had immunity, got a vote, which was crossed out. And this was actually a topic from the Korang. Has there ever been a vote crossed out? It was a little bit different because Jervis realized he couldn't vote Greg, crossed his name out, and wrote Sue instead.
Mm-hmm.
But so very, very interesting here, where every single person, you know, almost every single person on the tribe gets at least one vote.
I will also add in that I saw there's a new feature on Twitter where you can add animated GIFs to your tweets. Have you seen this, Jordan?
I haven't actually.
So you can automatically add automated GIFs to your tweet. And I said, okay, well, what's there for Survivor? And I saw that there is an animated GIF of Hayden Moss writing a vote and then crossing it out and then writing the rest of his vote. So I think that that is another one that has not been discussed. I think it's at the Brad Culpepper vote. I think he starts voting for Brad and then crosses it out and then ends up voting for Sierra like he's supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. I can't think of another vote that Hayden was a part of where he really
you know, scribbled it out. He did not just put one line through it.
It seems like the best policy. If you're going to cross out a vote, you want to scribble it down. I mean, from a viewer standpoint, I love what Aubrey did, just putting the one line through because it created a little bit of drama at the beginning of the episode. But if you're a Survivor player, it's probably best not to let the rest of the tribe know that you almost voted for somebody.
Well, as we saw tonight, that people get really pissed off with the redacted vote.
But anyway, back to the this Borneo episode. What I really found interesting about this, so we had sort of spoke about Borneo last time, we spoke about the fact that before Tribal Council, there was literally no strategy talk. And in this episode, there was a little bit more. However, in the conversations that we actually saw the contestants have with each other, it was purely social based. It was purely the tribe members getting to know each other, Tagi and Pagang talking and having conversations around the fire. I really love, Rudy's just sitting there calling the merge a big pain in the ass. But it was in the confessionals where we really got to hear the strategy, where, Greg gives one of my favorite, and I completely disagree with him, but he gives one of my favorite confessionals in Survivor history where he's saying if people form alliances and they're fear and self-preservation motivated, well, cool, flying fish, then it's a game that he doesn't want to be part of, but that group will be able to take over. And of course, that's what happens.
Yeah. He saw it coming.
He did.
He called the shot. Okay. All right. And that was the first ever merge. And everybody very upset, obviously, both on the show and in real life, once Gretchen got voted out, where it was really the first time that we said, wait, no, she was the best one. Why did they do that?
I know. She was the one that really seemed most fit to be out there surviving on the island. And I remember I read the Mark Burnett book where everyone in the production was just gutted when Gretchen got voted out because she was the one that they were all rooting for.
Well, that was the very first merge. And here we are in the 31st/32nd merge that we are seeing on Survivor. Jordan, did anything else of note happen on this week in Survivor history?
Yeah, this was a week of merges, and the one that I really wanted to hit on, thinking that there would be a vote tonight, was the Worlds Apart merge from a year ago this coming Friday. This is April 1st, 2015, and this is the Survivor Worlds Apart America tribe when the blue collar, white collar, and no collar came together.
It was only 1 year ago this week. Wow. How time flies.
And I was so prepared to get into this talking about how, there's three tribes coming together. I thought there was a very good chance that if there was a vote, an idol would be played and it might save somebody. And this would be a perfect episode to talk about because you have, the blue collar tribe with Mike Rodney, Kelly, Dan, and Sierra, who were really able to become the dominant group when they pulled in Tyler and Carolyn. And you have the no collars who were it looks like they're sort of screwed here because they're only able to get Shireen onto their side. And they lose Will, but of course Jen has an idol, and the blue collars didn't know for sure if Will was with them, and they weren't able to split the votes based on the numbers.
And very sadly, the great Kelly Remington went home, gone too soon.
Yeah, she's the one, and I think you alluded to this recently on the podcast where Mike calls her like the best person to never win or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, Kelly looked like she was a little bit, maybe not the most colorful character, but she seemed like a decent player, and she was in a good alliance at the time. But she gets voted out with four votes.
And in fairness to her, she really completely got blindsided by that big block of wood that hit her in the head.
That is true. I didn't think she had everything.
Total blindside.
In her case, it was a literal blindside. It was she was blindfolded when that happened.
Yeah, blood dripping down her face like Joe Del Campo.
Yeah. Well, good stuff, Jordan. Thank you again for all of your historical knowledge. And I hope you continue to have another week without any major infections to your body.
Thank you, too. I hope the same for you. And God bless America.
All right. Take care, Jordan. Bye.
You too. Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Jordan Kalish this week in Survivor History. All right, that's going to do it for the Survivor exit interview. I am going to get this posted for you guys, and then I'm going to pack up my stuff and go down to Podcast One to talk with Pete and Abby Maria. You want to make sure you get your voicemails in for the voicemail show today as well with Matt Cerrone. Looking forward to talking with him about everything that's going on. So send your voicemails in. Go to robisawebsite.com/voicemail, or you can call us in 323-282-RHAP. That's all coming up here later on today and into Friday. And of course, then on Friday, that's another very busy podcast day, because we will be talking about the week in Big Brother Canada 4. The great Johnny Mack will join us to talk Big Brother Canada 4. Not an April Fool's joke. He will be there this Friday. And then, what's this? Amazing Race. Oh, that's still a yes. The Amazing Race comes back from a 2-week hiatus to pick up where they left off. I believe this is episode 6 of Amazing Race 28, Social Media Edition. Jessica, Elise, and I will be back together for the first time in a few weeks to talk about the Amazing Race on Friday night. So looking forward to a lot of fun stuff. Plus, also, if you're following The Walking Dead, Big Walking Dead season 6 finale coming up Sunday night with myself and Josh Wigler. All that's coming up. And then, of course, we'll get into the second part of the week and the Survivor coverage with The Wiggle Room and David Bloomberg. And we're going to talk about everything going on with Neil and why Neil lost might be easy from a medical perspective, but it'll be fun to check in where he was in terms of David's rules, all coming up later on in the week. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robiswebsite.com/iTunes, or you could also search for Rob is a Podcast in your favorite podcatcher, or get the Rob is a Podcast app at robiswebsite.com/app. Have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.